Good morning and welcome to Mountain Money. If it's Monday, it must be time for Mountain Money with Larry Warren here and Doug Wells. Good morning. Looks like a interesting start to the week here with a lot of clouds.
I'll take it. It's warm and it's somewhat sunny.
And there's really just a 20% chance of a thunderstorm today, so it probably looks more threatening than it's going to be. We have a show today that features the author Keith Ferrazzi, who's a business consultant and has the book Never Eat Alone. This is a book that's been out for some time. It's been well-reviewed and followed by a lot of folks, and he's just updated it with all the latest. And we will be talking to Keith Ferrazzi in just a few moments.
Yeah, I've seen him on television several times, and I know at Stanford Business School they have him come speak occasionally as well. So it'll be a great conversation. I'm glad we have him as our first guest. Our second guest is going to talk to us about a very important topic that, Larry, I don't think we've chatted about in the past, at least not in depth, which is ID theft. We're going to have Beck Frost from Experian in here, and we're going to talk about ID theft. And Experian offers a product called Protect My ID. We'll probably chat about that, but more broadly just about ID theft.
It's happened to me once, and maybe we can talk about that.
Yeah, we probably will. There you go. It happens to a lot of folks. And then our final guest is going to be Mary Krista Smith. She is organizing a seminar that's this Wednesday at 6 p.m., and it's called The Energetics of Prosperity, Aligning Work, Passion, and Purpose. Those of us that live here in Park City, many of us have chosen to live here in part for balance, and that sounds like a great conversation about balance. It's going to be at the Treasure Mountain Inn, and we'll hear from more from Mary Krista Smith as our last guest. You're listening to Mound Money on KPCW. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Kelly from San Francisco Design, longtime supporter of KPCW. We provide a mix of European and mountain contemporary home furnishings for a unique Park City lifestyle. Our showrooms are in Park City and Salt Lake, and both offer complete design services. We're on the web at sanfrandesign.com.
Proudly supporting KPCW, Cushman & Wakefield Commerce offers commercial real estate services, including property management and valuation, for companies and investors throughout the Intermountain West. Located at Kimball Junction in the Park City Tech Center, we can be reached at 435-575-5600 or online at comre.com.
Welcome back to Mountain Money, and welcome to Keith Ferrazzi, our first guest. He's the founder and CEO of the training and consulting company Ferrazzi Greenlight, and also contributes to Inc. magazine, The Wall Street Journal, Harvard Business Review. He's been the chief marketing officer at Deloitte and been with Starwood Hotels and Resorts before that. Welcome, Keith, to Mountain Money.
Larry and Doug, thanks a lot. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Well, so are we, because I've heard that phrase, never eat alone, a lot. And I'm curious, did you invent it, or did you pick it up and make it the theme of your book?
Well, put it this way. If I didn't invent it, I wasn't really aware of it prior to myself. But these days, I think it's pretty much impossible to claim any primary invention. What I can say is that the blessing of this book is that it has impacted hundreds and hundreds of thousands of lives since we published it 10 years ago. But think about it. 10 years ago, we didn't have Facebook. We barely had LinkedIn. So when it talks about building the kind of relationships that you need to propel your business success and your financial future, those key relationships, it was time to update the book with an internet era.
And that's what this book is all about, right? Networking. You're a master networker, and getting ahead in business is all about who you know.
You know, it's interesting. When I first came out with the book, I was a little bit rejecting of the term networking because I do it a little differently. And frankly, I feel like the traditional term networking is often uncomfortable to a lot of people because they think of it as chore. They think of it as work. They think of it as something that you've got to go out and find people to use for your advantage. And that's in the worst-case scenario.
So
what we teach in Never Eat Alone was that people are critical to your success, and therefore you need to reach out to them with authenticity and generosity in order to sustain lifelong relationships. That's the key of networking from our perspective.
Yeah, and I want to circle back to that towards the end of our conversation, particularly your comment about authenticity. But for now, I want to start off and just chat with our audience. My perception, I've entered the business world about 30 years ago. My perception is most people are not that good at networking, and most people want to be better at networking. So let's give them two or three key things. If you're meeting with an executive that says, "Hey, Keith, I'm not as good at networking as I'd like. I'd like to get better." What would be two or three things you'd start with?
Well, the first thing I'd say is if you recognize, as all of us do intellectually, that people are important to our success, then I'd start saying, let's be a little bit more purposeful, a little bit more programmed, and a little bit more strategic about it. We advocate in Never Eat Alone that everybody in business needs to create a relationship action plan. Now, we have created relationship action plans for folks like Bill Gates, the CEO of the New York Stock Exchange, major corporate titans. But every one of us needs one. And what a relationship action plan is very simple. What are you trying to achieve? And recognize that people are critical to achieving that. Put the names down on a list. It's really that simple. If you're in the process of making a strategic shift in your business, you have to recognize that there are going to be a few key connectors in the marketplace that will be key influencers. Write their names down on a list. If you're going to launch a new product in the market, having built the relationships in advance with the media will give you permission to tell your story. If you're trying to change your culture of your organization, key relationships with people inside of your company may be critical to your gaining permission to shift their behaviors, right? So in a 360-degree manner, write the names of the people down that are critical. That's really step number one. Step number two is realize that people don't have time to build relationships with you. And I always joke that the number one rule of relationships is no one wants one with you. Now, it's not really true, but the actuality is that people are busy. And if you think you can just reach out to somebody and say, "I want to be your friend," that's silly. You need to reach out to somebody having done your homework, right? So that's really a sub point here. Do your homework and find a way that you can be of service to that person.
Now, a lot of people find it awkward when they've done the homework to somehow weave that into the conversation, and I think your book does a good job. It's not that complicated. You just need, at least initially, the right words to use or the right framework. Share with our audience. If you tell a story about running a marathon, and by the way, I'm training for a marathon as well, so we have that in common, but the woman said, "Oh, how do you know I'm training for a marathon? I thought your response was really good." Share that with our audience, please.
Well, look, really simply, don't shy away from transparency. Embrace it. So the bottom line is, if you do homework on somebody, why not tell them that they're important enough that you did your homework in advance and you've got five ways that you think you can be of service? The subject header could be, "I've done my homework. I've got five ways I think I can help." I mean, I'm serious. I mean, that might be a little bit audacious for some of you, but when I walk into somebody's office and I've always prepared for what I call five packets of generosity. Now, generosity could be professional. And by the way, that's the alternative of most people when they walk into an executive's office, is they figured out what they want to get from that executive. That's their extent of generosity. That's not generosity. You walk in having done your research, you realize they've got a kid in high school that, who knows, in the back of your head, you're thinking, maybe that kid could use an internship, and maybe in my network I could be helpful. They clearly have been seen that they're in a certain number of charities. Maybe they're on a national autism cause, and you're like, you know, a good friend of mine cares about that cause. Maybe I'll introduce the two of them.
And I think that's an important piece of this whole thing, is it is give and take. It's not just give, and I think a lot of people miss that. You know, the example I asked you to share earlier with the woman, you bumped into her, and it's really that first 10 seconds. How do you connect? You mentioned that you knew she was training for a marathon. You were training for a marathon. She asked you, "How do you know I'm training for a marathon?" And you were just upfront with it. You said, you know, something to the effect of, I make it a practice to do a little bit of research on people I wanted to meet at this conference. I think is beautiful in its simplicity. It's honest. It's direct. It's short. And it's a compliment to that person.
Amen. Exactly.
I think people struggle when they go to these conferences. They spend a lot of money to get there. They got to get on an airplane. They're away from their work. They're away from home. And I think oftentimes people don't get the full benefit out of going to the conference. What are some thoughts that you would share with people about how to make better connections, particularly at conferences?
If your audience wants to just Google my name, Keith Barazzi, and the words Conference Commando, I've actually written, there's a chapter in the book called Conference Commando, but I've actually written an entire addendum to that for people, 15 tips to go to a conference. One important thing is know what you want to get out of the conference before you go. Who do you want to meet? What are the topics you're interested in? And when you go there, recognize that right after the speakers speak is the worst time to try to get to them. Know that everybody who is coming to that conference, I mean, look, I go to events all the time, and I often chide the audience a little bit. I say, you know, there may be thousands of people there. I'll say, how many of you would like to spend 5 minutes with me at this stage after my speech? 90% of the room raises their hand. And I said, do you realize I've been here for the last 3 hours without anything to do waiting till my speaking engagement? I mean, any of you could have reached out in advance. Speakers, attendees, if you get to know the organizers and volunteer your time for the conference, they'll probably give you the list of those who are coming so that you can actually get in touch with people in advance. So it's really important to do the prior planning. My pop used to say 7 P's, prior proper planning prevents piss poor performance. Well, that's absolutely true of conference.
One thing I struggle with, I've only gone to a couple of business conferences in the public media world, which I've only been in 4 years, is you go to conferences as a newbie, and everybody there seems to know everybody, and everybody's in a little knot of people who are all friends. And that is the most awkward kind of situation to be in. How do you bust your way into those groups?
Two ideas on that. Two ideas. One, if you've volunteered your time, then you will know all the conference organizers, right? So you're already on the inside. If you don't have that luxury or haven't done that already, I guarantee you every single one of us listening in right now has been in that situation where you want to break into a group, but you're embarrassed to do so because you think they don't want you there. First of all, that's your own garbage. The fact that you in your head have conceived the fact that they don't want you there is silly. You're just focusing on them and their friends, right? So you walk up to the group and you say, gentlemen, ladies, whatever it is, do you mind if I break in? I'm brand new and I don't know anyone here. What a simple thing to say, and who would turn their back on that? And you could even say, excuse me, I hope this isn't a private conversation. I'm totally new at this. I really don't know anybody. You mind if I break in and meet you guys? That's it. It's that simple. And who's going to turn their back on that? And if they do, by the way, so what? Go and do it to the next group, because I guarantee you, if you do this to three groups, you're likely to have three wins. At worst, maybe two folks. You know, one folk will say, hey, listen, I'm sorry, this is a private conversation, but let's talk later.
So, and you know, I think that's a great point, because that's simple. It's to the point. It's not the most elegant thing to say, but it works. And I think that's what holds people up, is they want to come up with the perfect phrase to transition.
Yeah.
And the reality is you don't have to. And I think that's the beauty of
it. Yeah, that's what we try to teach in Every Loan. It's all really simple. And the other thing is, each of us, the only thing that's holding us from building the relationships that we deserve is the fact that we don't think we deserve it. And our ability in small incremental doses of practice, it's practice that's going to allow you to build the kind of safe relationships you need to have richness and success and happiness. And it's small doses of practicing that will give you the courage to reach out and embrace the world in a way that you deserve.
Well, and let's talk about this practice, right? Because you look at people that seem very accomplished at this, and it looks like they're just sometimes winging it. And in reality, they aren't. And you were the chief marketing officer for Deloitte & Touche. It was an unusual path for a Harvard MBA to become to make partner at Deloitte & Touche. Most of the guys go through, they're working hard on spreadsheets, et cetera. That wasn't your skill set. You took a different path, and obviously your skill set is on networking and marketing and getting the word out. And one of the ways you helped Deloitte & Touche was hooking up with Michael Hammer, who at the time was famous for re-engineering, still is famous for re-engineering, which was a space that Deloitte & Touche wanted to get into. I was struck by the amount of detail when the Deloitte & Touche partners went to an event that Deloitte & Touche was co-hosting with Michael Hammer just the amount of accountability that the partners had. Share with us that, because I think people are going to be surprised to see this is work, and it's accountability. And you, as you said earlier, with your relationship, for lack of a better word, you have a better term, hit list. Here's the people I want that can help me with my relationship. You need to work that. Tell us how the Deloitte and Touche partners work those trade shows.
First of all, Larry, you guys are amazing in terms of your level of preparation. I'm honored by the fact you actually read my book, first of all. So thank you very much. Let me say this. What you're talking about is really what we did is applied a relationship action plan to expanding Deloitte and Touche's presence in the marketplace. Reengineering was out there. Michael Hammer was the founder. He actually came from CSC Index at the time. So a competitive firm, right, was where he came from. But believe it or not, we did a better relationship action plan than his old firm did. We reached out to Michael. We basically said to Michael, listen, you're about to build an entire tsunami in this area of reengineering. We want you to be successful. Your business model is very simple. It's putting butts in seats for training. We're gonna send all of our people there. You want to make sure that you have access to good state case studies. We're going to give you full ubiquitous access to all of our clients, right? We want you to be successful. And all we ask in return, Michael, is one simple thing. All we ask in return is that among the four companies that you would consider recommending to your admirers, just make us one of them if you believe we deserve it, right? It got to the stage where we were literally the only person on his list because we had proven to ourselves. But it was the relationship that gained us permission to influence him. Let me say that again. We led with generosity. We targeted an individual. We led with generosity. And it was the relationship that gave us permission to influence. That's what opened his ears.
So, Keith, now you're doing conferences with him. You have other partners there. Really, the purpose for Deloitte and Touche is to bring in business, right? And each partner was assigned two or three potential clients that Deloitte and Touche wanted to get to know better. And then they actually had to come back to the other partners every day and say, how's that going? And, if you're having challenges,
it was going incredibly well, and that's the whole point. I mean, you've got 10 folks on your executive team, 3 folks in your executive team. Imagine the richness if each and every one of you were to create a relationship action plan at every conference, at every event. And that's what we did, and we grew by 30%, 30% as an organization at Deloitte Consulting through this primary relationship. It was extraordinary for us. But it all started with a relationship action plan, the purposefulness that led to focusing on the generosity for those individuals, and then the follow-up. As I say, there's a chapter in the book, Follow Up or Fail. Make sure that you're constantly vigilant, vigilant, vigilant on the follow-up.
You know, Keith, before we let you go, and the clock is winding down, but since you first brought the first edition of Never Eat Alone out in 2004, social media has exploded. And the business networking site that's risen to the top is LinkedIn.
Yes.
But, you know, I've got a LinkedIn account, and I don't know, I've got 400, 500 connections. I think I was pretty promiscuous in the beginning and let everybody link to me. Now I look to see who it is and if they're someone remotely maybe in my field. But is LinkedIn effective, or are there too many people who have so many connections they don't know most of them? I've got one gal named Shasta with pink hair who lives in Dallas when I finally did look her up, and she's endorsed me for every skill under the, you know, in the planet.
Shasta,
and I don't know
like
who the
friend.
Heck she is.
The Shasta sounds like a good friend. Well, look, let me say this. The answer to your question is yes and yes. So too many of us were too promiscuous early on, and we've got to clean up these profiles. The flip side of that is, yes, it's a very valuable tool. And one of the things that people will often say is social media is promiscuous. Social media is about useless, frivolous, broad tie. Let me tell you something. From those frivolous, broad ties, you can mine deep relationships. You think about your network as a pipeline. And this is the broadest side of the pipeline. You can reach out, you can learn from people you want to learn from online. You can reach out and start to follow individuals who are prospects and clients and influencers. And yes, you can actually begin to build loose ties out there in the ether, and then you can bring them a little closer to you through engaging with those individuals in a prioritized manner, and then you can actually turn them into face-to-face connections as well as clients and prospects. So you have to recognize that those loose ties are powerful. Opportunity is created from them. The referral network is extraordinary when you use those well. So I think the answer is you got to scrub. You know, it doesn't take you that long to scrub those 400 names to see who's real and who's not. And let's go ahead and start using the tool for what it should be used for, which is building those loose ties. And then keeping track of your close ties to see what's really going on in their life so you could better know how to serve them.
And what else is out there besides LinkedIn? As LinkedIn rises to the top in terms of business connections, what else is useful?
You know, I could go on and on, the various applications, here on Biz, a number of others. But I would recommend, and by the way, Facebook isn't bad for this either. There's no reason why you wouldn't have personal connections that are even more personal than what you might find on some other connections, such as you would on Facebook. But look, right now, start with LinkedIn, build your network there, build your contacts there, and just play with the apps. If you go into the App Store and put networking or relationships, there's a lot of fun stuff there. But right now, just one step at a time. Let's just build our pipeline of relationships solidly.
Good. You know, I want to circle back. I told you at the beginning of the interview we would. Networking in many ways, Larry, I think, Keith, actually you used the term master networker. And I think for a lot of folks, that label would have a negative connotation, although I would argue it should not. And you talk in your book, you open chapter 32 with this crazy schedule of what your day looks like. Most people would look at that and just get exhausted reading the list of things you get done before 12 noon. But you close that and you say, for you, networking is not a career, it's a way of life, and connection is actually a way of seeing the world for you. I want to give you a chance to close with sharing what you mean by that. How do you see networking differently maybe than somebody that has a negative connotation with it?
Yeah. Well, it's what I would like to leave everybody is that, first of all, you need to be yourself to build relationships. Don't try to be what you think a networker is. Be you. And reach out to the world and create an environment around yourself that invites people in. The way I think about building a network and a rich set of relationships is that I'm building a set of friends. And every person that I touch has the capacity to be more authentic and more intimate. And that requires me to let my guard down. And as a result, I live my life in a less transactional way, but a more connected way. It's the way that I think, you know, when I grew up in my Methodist church when I was, you know, as a kid, it's the way that my preacher told me you should live your life with everybody. So why not do that one day at a time in business? Why not do that one day at a time in event? And what I find is that if you lead with generosity and you lead with really caring about meeting real people, you live a more joyful life. It's one of those great win-wins. You'll have more financial success. You'll have more loyalty in your prospects and clients, and you'll have some joy in your life. Live a connected life.
Great. That's actually a great note to end on, but I do want to ask you one last question. You dedicate your book to your mom and dad.
Yeah.
And you and I have many similarities in our upbringing, and I wanted to give you a chance to share about your mom and dad, and particularly your dad's willingness to ask for help and how that changed the course of your life as a young man.
Yeah, my pap passed away over 10 years ago. My mom's still alive. I just saw her back at... back in Latrobe, Pennsylvania for Mom's Day. Let me say this. The one thing I want everybody to think about is that what my dad always used to teach me. Some of this stuff sounds intimidating, but Pop used to say, hey, don't ever be afraid to ask. The worst anyone could ever say is no. I know some of the stuff we talk about. My dad was an unemployed steelworker, and yet he wasn't going to let his family fail. He was going to do everything he could do. And that simple message has driven me to push through my courage. Remember, I told you the number one thing about relationships is feeling you deserve them. You know, whatever you feel, just start acting as if you do. And you do deserve them, so reach out there and go build it.
It's a great note to end on, and thank goodness your dad had the courage to ask the president of the steel mill to help you get into Yale. Change the course of your life. Our guest this morning has been Keith Ferrazzi. He's the author of a New York Times bestseller, Never Eat Alone. We talked a lot about high-level items. Keith talks about high-level stuff in his book. Importantly, he also talks about some really good details. Here's how to do this. It's definitely a good read and something I highly suggest. Keith, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks,
gentlemen,
Keith.
It's an honor. Thanks a lot for having me.
And next, we will tackle the subject of protecting your ID. We will talk about ID theft with Beck Frost, who is with Experian. And, yeah, I've had mine swiped once, and it's happening more and more to people. And this is good information, so stay tuned for that. I do want to remind you that we are expecting about a 20% chance of isolated, scattered thunderstorms all week long, all the way through Thursday night. But it's only a 20% chance, so don't be surprised if it happens. Don't be surprised if it doesn't. And our high today, looking at 64, getting chilly in the evenings, down into the 30s by Wednesday. And so who knows? You may want to pay attention and cover your crocuses. And we will be back with more Mountain Money after this.
This is Sean Railton. I'm an agent with Park City Realty Group. I'm a 30-year Park City resident and a KPCW underwriter. I have been involved in the Park City real estate market since 1994 as an agent, an appraiser, and an investor. I can be reached at 649-1991 or Sean at ParkCityRealtyGroup.com.
This is Craig McCarthy with the Park City Chamber Bureau. Joining the Chamber Bureau provides your business with lots of benefits, from business-to-business networking and promotional opportunities to access to our 1,000-plus membership database. Becoming a member of the Park City Chamber Bureau is a great investment for your business. Information on joining is online at visitparkcity.com or call us at 649-6100. The Park City Chamber Bureau is a nonprofit organization.
Hi, this is Barbara Ma. I am an attorney and proud supporter of KPCW. My practice is in Park City, and I have a special interest in healthcare law. I assist clients with all types of health insurance issues, such as coverage, claims denial, and appeals. My website is barbara@barbaramalaw.com or healthissueslaw.com.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Right at Home, 1745 Bonanza Drive, Furniture and Home Accessories Consignment. Gallery Mar, fresh contemporary art on Main Street, gallerymar.com. Rally Interactive makes apps, websites, and other digital products. Rallyinteractive.com. Dumond Gourmet, prepared global gourmet meals, pickup or delivery. DumondGourmet.com. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. We left you with sage advice from Larry. Cover your crocuses. All right. I'm assuming that's a plant. In studio with us now, we have Danielle Bryan. She is the owner and founder of a company called The Inspired Network. We also have Mary Krista Smith. And Mary Krista Smith is organizing a seminar that's going to be this Wednesday, 6 p.m. at Treasure Mountain Inn. It's called The Energetics of Prosperity, Aligning Work, Passion, and Balance. Welcome to the studio, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to be here.
So I don't know much about the seminar. I know that the title makes it sound like what we're going to talk about is balance, which is really important to folks here in Park City. Mm-hmm. Have you done this seminar here in Park City before, and what can people expect to get out of it?
We have not done it in Park City. This is actually going to be our first event here in Park City for the Inspired Network. And what people can expect to get out of it is a place where we can come together in a community and talk about prosperity and what that means in all arenas of our life.
I think that's going to resonate with people, right? I mean, people, most of us have chosen to live here. We've had some level of success earlier in our lives. We fortunately have flexibility to choose to live here. And now it's really about balance, right? We want it all here in Park City. And the nice thing is, in many ways here, you can do that. And will this seminar help people think through that?
It will. One of the things that I'm most passionate about is passion, is people living a passionate life in every arena of their life. And can we wake up and love what we do and do what we love? And can we do that in all areas? And Park City is a great place.
So think about this, folks in the audience. It's $25 ahead of time, $30 at the door to go.
Yes.
A word that I use, really not a phrase, but just a word that is kind of a guiding principle for me is the word thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't want to just get through life. I want to thrive through life. I want my kids to thrive. I want my wife to thrive. And I think a lot – I'm going to turn 50 here in July.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of folks, the default is if you don't work on it, it's going to be hard to thrive through life.
It will be hard to thrive through life. If we can't wake up and do some self-inventory of what is it that we love, what is it that lights us up, what is it that turns us on and gets us going, what gets us out of bed and moving
right.
in the morning.
I mean, people ask me all the time, right? I volunteer here at the station. I'm a DJ, mm-hmm. and not a DJ, but, you know, co-host here with Larry. They ask
hey,
me,
you can volunteer as a DJ.
I'm not
if you
sure I'd be a good DJ.
If you want
to
spin records,
I like to talk too much,
that.
Right? DJs are supposed to play music, but you know, people ask me, so why do you do this? And the reality is, it's just I like my life better when I do it. So mm-hmm. it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of preparation, as Larry knows. So the session's going to be probably a couple hours long. It sounds mm-hmm. like it's a panel discussion here from the studio. Lynn Ware Peak is going to be the moderator.
Yes.
And who are some of the other guests?
We have Jennifer Mulholland, who is CEO of Healthy Happy Human Beings. Babby Lester, who's a naturopathic doctor here in town. She has Mountain Sage Clinic. Nancy Pollard, who is a life coach and psychotherapist, social worker. And Tim Henney, who also co-hosts with Lynn Ware Peak and is on City Council.
Now, my guess is this would appeal mostly to women. Am I wrong?
Yes, you are wrong.
Okay, that's me and my sexist way of looking at these sorts of things.
You
that's
really say
okay.
that out loud? Sorry.
No, this is for anybody. Anybody who is in a place where they're wanting to shift to the next level. Do they want to bring their business to the next level? Do they want to bring their physical health to the next level? Do they want to bring their spiritual life to the next level? So there's going to be all components being addressed, but there is... It's for anybody who's at this place where we've done a lot, we have careers, we're in the middle of whatever it is that we all have going on individually, and there's this place right now where we can take it to that next place, and we can expand it even further and grow it even bigger.
So, Mary Krista Smith,
yes.
you're the listed as the organizer here.
Yes.
What attracted you to this and said, I want to help out on this, I want to organize this?
Well, I feel so fortunate to live in this community and to know all these amazing people like Lynn and Tim and Babby and Nancy who are truly living their passion, who are prosperous in their lives, who have amazing stories and insights to share. And that makes me passionate about bringing it to the community and expanding it. And also from my own experience, knowing that growth and opportunity happen at the edge of our comfort zone. If we're going to expand, we're going to go places we haven't gone before.
Very true.
And that what we are passionate about in the Inspired Network is offering people an experience. So not only are you going to come and hear what these amazing people have to say and share and hopefully be inspired by them, but to have a lived experience which will expand you so that you can go out and say, yes, I can. I'm going to take it to that next place. I'm going to dare greatly and be courageous and move outside my comfort zone and recognize any limiting story or belief I may have about what's possible so that we can be more prosperous. We can do the work we love, aligned with our purpose and passion, and be financially successful doing that.
That should
all
be
those
the motto for
possible.
Park City, right? I mean, people ask me, I moved here from the Bay Area, and the most common question is, what's it like living in the mountains? What's it like living in a small ski town? And, you know, the landscape is great, and it gets us out and doing things. But the thing that makes Park City special in my mind is the people.
Yes.
And one of the reasons I go to events like this, I'm not currently signed up, but I did check my schedule to see if I'm open, and you'll probably see me there. But one of the reasons I go to events like this is it gives me a chance to meet with other people mm-hmm. that have similar aspirations and want to live life in a similar way. Mm-hmm. And the neat thing about Park City is people like this are not unusual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's networking, just like the last half hour speaking with Keith Ferrazzi.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is networking, and it's not only the people on the panel, but everyone who is coming as a guest and as a participant. They each have their own individual story to share and their next level that they would like to step into and live more fully into. And so no matter where we are on that spectrum, there's an opportunity at this event to connect, to meet, to expand, to learn, to grow.
Mm-hmm. So talk to us about some of the guests. I mean, the audience is familiar with Lynn Ware Peak. I would assume most of us here in Park City are familiar with Tim Henney. He's one of my heroes. He definitely has that work life balance figured out. But some of the
does
other
he
folks,
work? He just seems.
Isn't that what we're all striving to do?
That's how it should look.
You know,
all I ever see is play.
That's perfect.
No, he's working like a dog now as a city councilor.
But tell us about some of these other guests that are speakers on the panel that folks here in town may not be as familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Babby Lester, like I said, naturopathic doctor and Chinese medicine. She owns Mountain Sage Clinic. And Babby has known that she's wanted to practice medicine since she was a little girl, and she followed that dream. And she has a great story of what it's like to continue to follow her intuition and keep pursuing her passion and her dreams, and even in those places where it takes great leaps of courage to do it, those unknown places.
Right.
And she is loving her life. She does what she loves and loves what she does, and she's connected to something higher. She is working obviously with, you know, clients one-on-one, but when we spoke with Babby, her whole thing is to be connected to this bigger purpose, to be connected to this place where we all can prosper, and we all can live in a balanced way.
Okay, great. How about some of the other guests? You said there's a life coach. Who is that?
Yes, Nancy Pollard. She practices the Colby A Index and helps people get connected with the fundamental structure of who they are. So how do we come to life and how do we do it fundamentally? Actually, Mary Kristen and I get to go meet with her right after this and have our Colby A Index read. So we'll learn a little bit more about that. But she helps people to find out exactly how do they operate and then gives them tools to be able to operate in successfully based on what their fundamental personality traits are.
She's really going to help us clarify our strengths, and so that as we move forward in our business, we can be really clear, these are my strengths and this is what I do well, so this is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. These are your strengths and they're different than mine, so this is the dimension of work that you will do. And when we know that these are our strengths and to go with that, it really helps us live more fully and more aligned in our work.
You know, and I think there's a lot of reasons why people may not be living the life that they want to live. And part of that is first identifying what it is, mm-hmm. and then putting together a plan for, you know, how do I get from point A to point B? And maybe that's over the next month. Maybe that's over the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. But at least have a plan. Well, it sounds like a great event. The event is The Energetics of Prosperity, Aligning Work, Passion, and Purpose. It's this Wednesday, 6 p.m. at Treasure Mountain Inn. And mm-hmm. if people want to sign up, how do they do that?
They can go to our website, www.inspired-network.com. And you'll see the event listed on our homepage, and you can register there. You can come and register at the door, and we'll have...
Cost you $5 more.
And there is a fee. It's a $25 mm-hmm. evening.
Yep.
Unless you pay at the door.
It's $30 at the door, and we'll have our panel discussion, and then after we're going to have a little mix and mingle. We'll have some beverages, some food, some wine, and a great social evening here in Park City.
Well, it sounds fun. Our guest is Danielle Bryan, owner and founder of the Inspired Network, and Mary Krista, who's the organizer of the seminar coming up this Wednesday. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And good luck with the seminar.
Thank you.
We will be back to continue Mountain Money after this.
Juniper Landing is proud to support our local radio station, KPCW. Juniper Landing is a new, whole ownership townhome community located at the base of Canyons Resort, adjacent to the Waldorf Astoria Park City, with a model open daily. Our website is juniperlandingparkcity.com.
Hi, this is Greg Cropper of Jones Waldo Park City, a Park City law office. I've been a big fan of KPCW since its first broadcast back in 1980. Jones Waldo's been representing clients from Summit and Wasatch counties since 1875. You can find us at joneswaldo.com.
And, you know, running and a live show is kind of challenging.
You know,
this morning, Larry, you and I were talking and said, you know, we got it all lined up today. It's going to go smooth. And there's always
well,
these little...
it always stuns me when someone calls us and pitches us on an idea and then forgets to actually show up. But we can talk about the subject. And let me tell you my story quickly. I filled up with gas at a Maverick on one day, and then like 4 hours later, I bought $4,000 worth of shoes in Rome.
And, at least you have good taste.
And then you know, so I was practicing a little time travel there, I guess. And then I think I racked up $18,000 in clothing sales that all from high-end Rome boutiques.
And let me guess, your credit card company had a fraud alert. They contacted you. You said, you know, as much as I like $4,000 pair of shoes from Rome, that wasn't me.
Yeah, actually, I was only alerted when I opened up my bill.
Ouch.
Yeah, I have gotten...
That's unusual in
today's day and age. Well, and this was maybe 4 years ago. And since then, I've gotten calls from them saying, we noticed you charged in Salt Lake City and 20 minutes later charged in Santa Cruz. And I said, yeah, that's, you know, one of them was a phone call to a company in Santa Cruz. And so they notice those patterns now, but the algorithms weren't quite to snuff years ago because I wound up with this huge bill. And somebody had my card in Rome.
Now, here's what the credit card company doesn't tell you, right? So they give you a fraud alert. And in fact, my wife and I are going through this right now, right? Somebody bought something that wasn't us. It's the algorithm caught it. They checked with us. Is that you? No. Great. We cancel the card. They send us a new card. From the credit card company standpoint, it's done. From your standpoint, it's not. And here's an important point. You need to call the credit bureaus and tell them, I've had somebody steal my credit card number. I'd like to put my account on a credit watch. It's a real important next step. There's three main credit bureaus. You want to call all three of them because unfortunately they don't talk to one another. And you want to tell them that this way if somebody applies to buy a car, if somebody applies for another credit card, right, they have your credit card number. They may have other information. But you need to take that next step. The credit card company doesn't do that for you. They should, but currently they're not required.
Can you get through? Does somebody answer the phone? Can you just make a phone call?
You can. In fact, when the credit card company shares this information with you, just ask them for the phone numbers to the three main credit bureaus or do a quick Google search. It's actually quite easy. Unfortunately, they're used to getting these kind of calls. But it's important that you take that next step.
Okay.
let's talk networking.
Networking is, I've only been doing public media. I did commercial media for 30 years and public media in only the last four. And it's a different animal. And let me tell you, there was so much help available just by calling at random other stations like ours and talking to GMs that I didn't even know. And now I've built up a network of ski town radio stations and other public radio stations that are of similar size. And it is so helpful to say, how do I handle this situation?
Right.
How do I deal with NPR on this matter? How do I deal with somebody else on another matter?
Well, and Ferrazzi's really the expert, and he literally wrote the book on it, right? And I think, Larry, the thing I like about what you're saying is you just reached out and you did it. And Doug Wells, who hasn't wrote a book on networking, hasn't written a book on anything, but if I could give you one piece of advice, it's just ask. Ask for help. Don't wait for the perfect phrase. Just let people know, hey, I'm dealing with this. Can you help me? And some people are going to tell you no, but you know what? Other people are going to tell you yes.
Well, it's a high compliment you're giving someone.
Absolutely.
You know, you're saying, could you help me figure this out? Because you know so much more about this subject, and I'd love to learn from you.
And I loved how Ferrazzi wrapped up, right? I gave him how do you look at life? He has that phrase where it's a way of looking at life. And his first point was, be yourself. And I think that's so important. Don't try to be who you think you should be. Just be yourself, and people are going to connect with you.
Yeah, and you know, LinkedIn. I've always wondered what good is this, because I didn't actively use it. I just got connections, and then I found people who connected with me, tried to sell me stuff, and started pelting me with pitches. And I don't know what the phrase is. I unfriended those people right away. But now I'm part of a couple of organized groups dealing with public media, and now I see the value. It's a simpler way than me calling people cold, you know, right, at Aspen Public Radio.
That's the power. Somebody you know may know somebody.
Now I have a name, and that name knows some other friend, and that gets a conversation started.
Absolutely.
And gets you LinkedIn.
I mean, it sounds bizarre, but one of the things I'll do when I get back to work today is I'll send a LinkedIn request to Keith, and here's why. This guy's a professional networker, right? He probably has 10,000 people in his LinkedIn profile. I have no need for him to make any introductions to me today, but I don't know, 2 years, 3 years from now, I might, right? And as you say, it's nice to be able to look at LinkedIn, see who knows who you're trying to get in touch with, and have that person make the intro for you.
Plus, he had a very high compliment, mostly for you. He said, wow, you guys are great. You actually read my book.
He knows how to schmooze the press, so good for him. That was a great conversation.
It's hard to get all these books read, but I got to tell you, we both skim them, and Doug, more so than I, is a great audio books guy. He'll get it on audio and go out bike riding or jogging and have
mostly,
the book.
Mostly
have,
jogging. Bike riding book, could get me in trouble.
Have the book fed through his earbuds.
Speaking of guests, let's switch gears. You and I talked to the folks. I guess it was one of our first shows together 2 years ago. It was Shades of Pale Brewing. And as I recall, they were out by the Home Depot. And he was talking about how he had all this equipment squeezed into a room.
Well, actually, it's because I go to the recycling center a lot. He was in a storage unit near the recycling center.
Okay.
Because I would always see him. He was just spilled out into the parking lot. He'd have a bottling line outdoors in the parking lot,
yeah,
and kegs of beer piled up and so on. So he was clearly a startup squeezed for space, but now...
Now he's not.
Now he's not.
Unfortunately, Park City's lost him, though, as a business based here. Utah has not, but he relocated to South Salt Lake City, or I guess he is going to be relocating to South Salt Lake City this summer. So we wish him all the best. It's great that he had his start here, and hopefully we'll continue to have connections with him.
Yeah, and other news, since we're talking beer, Park City's own Red Rock IPA has been crowned the best beer in the blog Utah's Beer, which I'm told is the leading source for beer enthusiasts to talk about their beers. And the comment on the blog is, get out to the brewery, brew pub, or your closest liquor store and toast Red Rock's brilliant beer.
How is it, Larry, when you give Doug and Larry 15 minutes to ad lib at the end of a show because a guest didn't comment? The conversation always tends to go to beer.
Well, because what Greg Scherf started in Utah, gosh, probably 25 years ago now with Wasatch Brew, he was ahead of his time.
He was.
And he had to pioneer actual state laws through a mostly LDS non-drinking legislature to even be able to do some of the things he did, like start a brew pub. That was illegal until
That's a great answer, right? We have a history here in Park City of silver, of snow, and apparently
suds.
And suds, as well as Dave Perkins and the High West Distillery doing a similar strategy, happened to kind of forge new ground. I do want to take a chance, because you and I normally don't have 5 minutes to talk about. Now, you will ask me about the market and what's going on. It's always fun to talk about that. The reality is some days the markets are going to be up, some days the markets are going to be down.
Sure.
But the thing that I think will move the needle for people that you and I normally, and their investments, that you and I normally don't have the time to chat about, is most people are chasing the market. I mean, there's a third-party think tank called Dalbar. And back in the day when our fathers were working, they had lifetime employment, they had defined benefit plans. When they retired their company, gave them X dollars a month, hopefully indexed for inflation for the rest of their lives. Those days are gone. And now we have 401ks and we all have to manage our own 401k. And that transition started to take place about 30 years ago. And fortunately, back then, there was a think tank called Dalbar. And what they did was they did a study to say, how are investors doing? So they looked at investors' results who were choosing investments in their 401k. And what they found is the average investor is only getting half of the return of the market. For the money that they put in the market, they're only getting half of the return.
Yeah.
That makes a huge – you multiply that. You know, the market's done about 8% a year. Most people haven't even kept up with inflation, okay? You do that over 20 years, it's going to have a devastating impact on your retirement. And so here's something I want to chat about for a minute or two since we have time. Why is that? And the reason most people get impacted by that is because we're wired as humans. It's just reality, right? And we have emotions, and the emotions in investing is greed and fear. And it's so obvious in hindsight that it's intoxicating to think that you can call the top, you can call the bottom. I mean, you and I have talked about, hey, Doug, are we near the high now or are we near the low and, you know, when it's going down? And it's fun to do, but it can be devastating to your success as an investor. So don't do that. Come up with a long-term investment strategy. Decide I should be 60, 70% of the market. I should be 30% in the market and stay the course. And maybe here's the thing. Stay the course, but you can't help yourself, but maybe at the margin, 10% one way or the other, but not big changes because the odds are stacked so much against you that you're more likely to lose, much more likely to lose than you are to win.
Yeah, and I think part of the underperformance is that people just don't revisit their portfolios very often. Maybe they were helped with the advisor when they first set it up 6, 7, 10 years ago. But markets are always evolving, and you always have to rebalance your portfolio.
And
how often would you think should you revisit your portfolio once a year, or once a quarter? How often?
Well, obviously, I'm biased. I think you should work with a professional that you trust. And if you're working with a professional that you trust, once a year, you know, look at it once a quarter, and then once a year, really think through, you know, is this the right strategy for me? Am I working with the right advisor? Is this the right path for me? But watching CNBC every day for most people is going to cost you money. You're not going to make money. Not everybody, but for most people.
You know, and I read a couple of books about the stock market crash, the 1929 one, and Joe Kennedy made a fortune. JFK's dad made a fortune in the market, and he made it before the crash, and he sold his stock before the crash. And
he did back then is illegal today. He actually, there were no laws against it. And in fact, FDR viewed Joseph Kennedy as a political threat, set him up to fail by having him put in charge of putting together the original SEC. And Joseph Kennedy surprised FDR and actually did a darn good job. He knew all the tricks, and he set up the SEC to catch all those tricks. So what he did to make his fortune, you'd go to jail for today.
Okay. But the way he got out was he got his shoes shined by the same shoeshine boy. And he said when he started getting tips on hot stocks from the shoeshine boy, he decided it was time to get out of the market.
That rumor is attributed to several investment icons. Joseph Kennedy to that list now as well.
In any event, we're generally behind the curve. Well, I want to thank Park City Realty Group, Mountain West Bank, the Iron Mountain Group, the Park City Chamber, Prudential Real Estate, San Francisco Design, and Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough for being proud sponsors. I hope you're proud of Mountain Money, and we thank them all for helping us out. And I want to remind you that on This Green Earth tomorrow, Chris and Nell, first we'll be speaking with Dr. Michael Mann, professor of meteorology at Penn State University, author of the book The Hockey Stick and the Climate Wars. And that's a much noted book on the subject, and please stay tuned for that. In the second half of the show, local beekeeper Doug Fryer joins us to talk about honey, hives, and the latest findings regarding colony collapse disorder. Doug, thanks for joining us, as always, on Monday with your sage advice.
And, enjoyed it. Thank you, Larry.
And this is KPCW Park City, and it's time for NPR News.